All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are here to wrap up this first hour. Shad and I are chatting with Robert Sinn, also known as Goldfinger on a lot of the metals-focused blogs out there. Now, Robert, you've been coming on the show on a fairly regular basis right now, sharing really a wide range of comments on a wide range of commodity sectors. And we are going to focus on different metal sectors here, but first and foremost, you are down, actually, at the conference as we are recording this in Beaver Creek. Unfortunately, I could not make it this year due to kind of the complex travel restrictions that Canada has. But I wanted to get your initial takeaway from the conference down there. I have heard that attendance is a little bit less than where it had been in the last few years. That's understandable because of the complexities of traveling right now. But in terms of major themes that you're hearing, Robert, and different topics that seem to be on the front of mind of the attendees and the companies there, what are you hearing? What's important to know about what people are talking about on the showroom floor?
Hey, Corey. Yeah, it's great to chat here, you know, from Colorado. It's beautiful weather up here at Beaver Creek. The conference is fantastic. Yeah, you're right. You know, the attendance is a little lighter than a couple of years ago, probably a few hundred people less in person. But the you know, virtual, you know, hybrid format works, you know, very well. I would say that, you know, sentiment is kind of mixed, you know, to be quite honest. I think a lot of people are a little bit cautious just because of how tough the, you know, year has been, but companies are carrying out their programs. You know, they're all advancing projects. Most companies are very well funded. So, you know, some cautious optimism, you know, as much as I hate to use that overused expression, but that's really what it is. In 2019, it was a bull market conference. Everybody was really optimistic and bullish and positive. This has a slightly more cautious flavor to it. And, you know, some of the common themes talking to, you know, the CEOs across the sector is that, you know, costs are up a lot over the last year, costs of labor, costs of equipment. You know, basically, if you name it, you know, like an input cost in the mining industry, the prices are up over the last year. Very hard to source skilled labor for a lot of companies. Some companies can't even get a team to run their, you know, drill rigs, or at least not all of the you know, rigs that, you know, that they have on the project. And then, of course, we have the assay lab turnaround times, which basically are between 2 and 3 months. I think 2 months is on the more optimistic side. I think 3 months is really what we're seeing. So, yeah, there's definitely some challenges across the, you know, sector. A lot of it has to do with COVID and all the challenges that has caused. But companies are doing the best that they can with what they have.
Robert, just another quick question. Have you heard any chatter about the financing window? That was a massive financing window. It's not closed, but we're definitely seeing generally less financings underway. We do still have a lot of companies that are cashed up, but that cash is getting burned through. And also M&A. I know some of the bullish commentators were saying, ooh, this conference really could spur some M&A as people get more face-to-face. Do you think that's going to happen? Your takeaway from both of those, please.
I don't know about the financings. I know that there are a couple of companies I met with that are probably going to have to finance by the, you know, by the end of the year. Didn't really get into, you know, details on that. And obviously they would only tell me so much anyway. I would say what you said is probably spot on. And then about mergers and acquisitions, I mean, I did speak with one CEO of a pretty large miner, gold miner, that has mines, you know, across the Americas. And I asked him about the M&A, and, you know, his answer was, yeah, it hasn't really started yet, but it's got to happen. He's like, it's just absolutely got to happen. There's really not going to be a choice. And maybe it's going to take another year, but it's not a matter of, you know, if it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And that seems to be the main, sentiment around that topic.
Yeah, Robert, hopefully some of the seeds are at least being planted and some of those discussions are at least maybe kicking off at this. And we'll watch afterwards to see what kind of news flow comes out of some of the mining companies. Just pivoting over to the metals, though, be curious to get your technical outlook on gold or just your general outlook on what you think's happening with the price action. We've been hugging this $1,800 level for quite some time. We've had little bursts above it, little bursts below it. What do you think the trend is going to eventually do when it breaks one way or the other?
It's interesting. I wrote a blog on CO.ca on Monday, basically saying that September is shaping up to be a really big month for gold. And I had a generally optimistic tone in the blog. And I haven't changed my view, but I also noted that I expected volatility. I expected this not to be, sort of a straight up to, 1900 sort of move. And obviously the 1840 level is a big level for gold that it's run into a few times now in the last 5 to 6 weeks, and it hasn't been able to move through it. But also gold has been well supported on dips. I think that the 1780s is a big area, and so far that's holding up. This week, we're down about 2% for the week in gold. Not a pretty candlestick, not a great week for sure. But I think it's just going, it serves to lower the optimistic sentiment. It serves to build that wall of worry that, we need to have. Gold had been up 4 weeks in a row. So this is a pullback week. It doesn't feel good. It feels like there's no interest in the metal at all. It feels like anytime it goes above 1800, they just sell it right back down. It's aimless. I mean, really, like, that's the best way to talk about the gold charts, the gold trading right now. It's aimless. It doesn't feel like it has any energy. And really, the way I would, explain why this is happening, I think there's a lot of, concern that the Fed is going to taper sooner than later. And until there's more clarity around the Fed's course of action, what the taper is going to actually, look like, we might just be stuck around this 1780 to 1830 ping pong. There's going to be a resolution at some point, but it doesn't feel like it's going to happen, in the next few days. It feels like we're probably going to have to bore the market to death a little more, build that wall of worry a little higher, and then we'll see if we can finally break out through the 1840 level. And I think that is a really important level. I think that if gold did have a weekly close above 1840, I think it would serve to re-energize things a bit.
So, Robert, an ongoing question that I need to ask you because of the action this week again is the underperformance in the gold shares. The gold shares have really led gold lower. Even though gold is held up better than the shares, it's not a good sign to continue to see shares selling off. GDX this week, as we're chatting, down almost 5%. And even more importantly, it is not far off of some of those recent lows back in August and back in March of this year. Those lows timed perfectly with gold when it was down at 1675. What do you think the shares are telling us? Do we need to be concerned still that these shares are continuing to underperform?
That's a great question. I think the gold miners are priced for 1600 gold at this point. Certainly, they're not priced for even a penny above 1700. So we're already priced in for another $100 of downside minimum, in my estimation. And if you look at some of the companies out there, especially some of the mid-tiers, I mean, man, they are so cheap here. The only way they would not be cheap is if gold really fell under 1600. So I think what the shares are telling you is that people really think that the taper is going to happen, that real rates are going to rise, and that gold is going to drop. I think it's really as simple as that. So if that does not actually take place, if the Fed does not taper very soon, if real rates do not really rise, appreciably, then I think there's a lot of upside. But, the same comment I made about gold, I'll say about gold miners. I think there's this fear of the taper and rising interest rates that is going to put a damper on gold and silver, and until there's more clarity around that, then, you know, I guess the market's going to stay pessimistic, you know, or maybe there'll be some unforeseen catalyst, you know, that will come about. But basically, my, you know, my short answer is mining shares are priced for much lower gold.
Well, Robert, just shifting gears to almost the flip-flop of this, the uranium space has been very hot the last few weeks, the uranium miners, and it's almost the reverse of gold, where, yes, we've had an increase in the spot price, and we're waiting to find out if there's going to be any term contract prices in uranium, but the miners have just surged higher, a lot of that on the back of Sprott buying up 28 million pounds of the physical uranium in the marketplace. But the miners have been almost unhinged from the price of the uranium price. What do you make of that? And do you think it's getting ahead of itself here, or is it setting up for a better longer term picture?
You know, that's a great question. You know, if I look at a chart like Cameco, big miner, you know, in the sector, kind of like the key stock in the sector that all the, you know, hedge funds run to, it reminds me of April 2020 in the gold sector, you know? So it's like, it's the breakout. It's the early stage of a bull market breakout. And yeah, people are climbing aboard the train, but if this is really going to be a cyclical bull market, and we're certainly in the first year of it, but we might be in the first few months of it, then there could be a lot more upside ahead. That being said, the weekly chart of Cameco looks fantastic, and it's not even really overbought yet. The daily chart is another story. It's up something like 12 of the last 14 trading sessions or something like that. It is really, really overbought. I would urge a little bit of caution here in the short term. I don't think you buy Cameco at $25 and just say, I'm all in. I don't think that would be a shrewd move. But certainly, this has all the makings of a major bull market move that's in relatively early stages. So I think dips are going to be bought, you know, and we had a little dip on Wednesday and Thursday, and it found support, and it continues higher.
Robert, do you think there's a bigger picture play here? I understand that you think that it's a, potentially long-term bull market and a nice pop, but in all fairness, the last time that we did see a big pop in uranium, it was a short-lived move, a spike higher and then a pretty quick pullback. Is this time different?
I'm not a big expert on the sector, Corey. I do follow it. I do own some of the shares. All I'll say is that as a market participant and a veteran of the mining sector for three decades, this feels different. And I know that's a scary thing to say, but it does. It feels different than the last couple of times that this sector, had a nice move up. It feels like there are institutions that are buying in, and it feels stronger. And it also, just understanding the fundamentals, it feels like it's really set up now for a cyclical bull market that will last more than a couple of months. You know, this could last for a few years, maybe even longer.
Yeah, someone that's followed the space about 11 or 12 years, I haven't seen volumes like this since 2010, 2011. The volumes coming in are indicative of some big money in the sector. But another, just pivoting over to one more metal, Robert, another one that's doing good is copper. Dr. Copper, once again, is having a good week. But to Corey's point earlier about the miners underperforming the metals, we're not really seeing the junior copper miners play ball as much as some of the seniors. But what are your outlooks on copper and the copper miners?
I think copper is in a big bull market. I think it's honestly my favorite, you know, metal at this point. You know, unfortunately, even though I'm Goldfinger, I got to say that copper is really set up here. Technically speaking, it's a breakout here today. It's breaking a downtrend line drawn from the May peak. So it's a very powerful end to the week for copper. We're up almost 4% on the session. And this is taking place while, you know, gold is obviously in the red. And the S&Ps are also down. It's been a pretty soft week for the stock market overall. We're actually down every day this week in the S&P, you know, even though it's not a huge downside move. It's just, it feels soft out there. So I like to see that relative strength where copper is leading and it's breaking out. It's showing that it really isn't a bull market, that it's underpinned by its own fundamentals. It's not just the sort of broad-based fund flows that we might have seen last year when, you know, there was money pouring into everything and anything, right? But now this is copper is really standing out on its own, and the technicals are aligning, you know, with the fundamentals, and you got to love to see that. As far as the copper miners, I mean, obviously the big miners are trading up, you know, along with the copper price, but the juniors are lagging. And I don't have a great answer for why that is. I think it could have something to do with some of the challenges that the sector is having that I cited, you know, like already in this conversation. And it could just be that the funds are moving into the big boys first, and we're not at that stage in the cycle yet where we get the big speculative flows. And that's what usually causes the sub 100, you know, million market cap companies to have those parabolic moves. So maybe, you know, we're just not at that point in the cycle yet.
Fair enough. Hey, Robert, good chatting with you as always, buddy. Thanks for taking some time away from the conference. We'll let you get back to it. And that also wraps up our weekend show. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Please be sure to go back, listen to a lot of those company updates that we recorded throughout this week. Because again, there is a lot of news coming out into the sector. And even though we're not seeing big pops in share price, it's still important to understand what some of these companies, especially ones in your portfolio or on your watch list, are doing to continue to move their assets forward. Robert, everyone else, thank you for your time this weekend. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.